a fourth rounder or two fourth rounders.
Okay, we can do it at the end. It's easier for me to cut it out, and I can just...
Yeah.
And then he also could get traded, like, while we're talking. Like, Marty Herney wraps up his conference call and then picks up his phone and...
And somebody offers him a third rounder for Curtis Samuel. He's like, well, I guess we're back in the game.
Night 2 edition of the Keep Sounding Podcast for the 2020 NFL Draft. This is Brian, joined by Brad and John, as always. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Brian. How about you?
I'm good. I'm excited. Brad, how are you?
I'm excited, too.
So, after what was an underwhelming first night where they took Derrick Brown, the Panthers made two picks that I think consensus right now, at least as far as what I've seen from draft Twitter, analytics Twitter, all the versions of Twitter that tend to hate on things, seem to be good. Oh my gosh. Just realized I misspelled Jeremy Chin's name on the Facebook post. Anyway.
Did you forget it?
I put it, it was Jeremy China.
Oh, so racist.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably have to fire you for that one, bro.
Yeah, I texted.
Did you do it on your phone or on your computer?
On my phone, so it autocorrected.
Oh, so it autocorrected, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, great start to the show.
Great start to just his career in Carolina.
Yeah. So the Panthers selected with the 38th overall pick, defensive end Yetur Gross-Matos. I think
year.
Yeter.
No, Yeter. I can actually pronounce it because I took the time to do the research and looked it up phonetically. It is Yetur Gross-Matos.
Yetur Gross-Matos. Okay.
And it means encircled by family. That's the translation. Which is actually kind of badass, if you ask me.
Yeah. I want to call him Yeter. Like,
we can absolutely call him Yeeter. That's fine.
I'm going to call him Yeet on Twitter when he makes the sack. Yeet with the sack.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's his nickname.
Yeah, his nickname's Yeet.
Mm-hmm. You heard it here first. CSR Keep Sounding Podcast.
That's how you come up with a nickname. You don't do this. You don't do the whole, like, all right, guys, let's brainstorm a nickname for this guy. It has to come organically, like calling Yeet or Yeet. For short.
I'm tweeting this right now. Yetur Gross-Matos. Despite how you pronounce it phonetically, in parentheses.
This is good podcast. Listening to Brian. Listen to Brian send a tweet.
Yep.
Well, I will hype up Christian McCaffrey's leadership abilities while Brian is sending a tweet.
Yep.
Christian McCaffrey texted Matt Rhule at 1 a.m. and ask for Derrick Brown's number.
Nice. Ooh. Do you think, this is a little unrelated, but that reminds me, do you guys think Aaron Rodgers asked for Jordan Love's number? Because he said he was going to do that before
he
the draft.
He absolutely did not ask for Jordan Love's number.
He said, like, I think at the Pat McAfee show, like, I'm going to, whoever we draft, I'm going to hunt down their phone number and give them a text. And then they trade up to draft a quarterback, and I'm sure he changed his mind.
Yes.
Yes, he absolutely did. I also, not to get too far off topic, but for any of you who don't check out the Pat McAfee show, they have a Packers fan on there who, for the entire first round of the draft, basically pretended to be and impersonated Mel Kiper. And when the pick was announced that they had drafted him, we got to experience angry Mel Kiper. Because he stayed in character despite throwing out F-bombs and talking about throwing bricks and burning down the GM's house and stuff like that. Completely stayed in character. It was amazing.
I have to watch that.
Yes.
It's great. It's great.
Oh, you saw too?
Yes, it is fantastic. The dude sounds just like Mel Kiper.
Yeah, except really upset. He sounds exactly like him, except really, really upset. Like,
yeah.
To the way I've never heard Mel Kiper that upset. So it was perfect. It was absolutely. He also had to walk out of the room for a little bit and collect himself after the pick. That was pretty funny too.
That's really funny.
But anyway,
yeah.
Panthers selected Yeet with their second round pick, defensive end out of Penn State. I'm going to be honest, I didn't know a whole lot about him, but I have the advantage of living in Pennsylvania, so all of the Penn State fans were hitting me up being like, "Oh, that was a great pick. Good pick. Can't wait to see him in a Carolina uniform, guys. Oh yeah." So I'm pretty excited. He seems like a really good run defender, and he's got good pass rushing ability. They mentioned he's got what the quote unquote heavy hands, as in when he gets engaged with a blocker, he's very good using his hands to get off. So I'll start with you, Brad. What are your thoughts on the pick?
I love it. We talked about this yesterday when we drafted Derek Brown. We have a very glaring need for defensive linemen, and that's not just defensive tackles. You know, we lost almost all of our defensive tackles, but we also lost Mario Addison. And, you know, we can't go into this year with Effie Obada and Brian Burns as the only two real defensive ends on the team. Because, you know, we also lost Wes Horton. I mean, I know that's not a big loss, but it's still a body. And we lost bodies. So, I mean, we have to rebuild the front seven. And I think they believe that Gross Matos is the best player that was available at number 38, including over some of the secondary players that were still there, which I was surprised they didn't go with someone in the secondary, to be honest. But they've got a young, quality, talented, athletic pair of defensive ends with Brian Burns and Yetur Gross-Matos that can be built around. And adding Derek Brown into that, that's a core of a defensive line that we haven't had in quite some time. So, you know, I think they made a good decision. I like it. And I'm excited to see what he can bring.
Yeah, he was like kind of off the radar, I think, for the Panthers pick. Like, I didn't really hear him linked to us at all. I didn't really see anybody. I never saw anybody say, like, oh, this is a guy we should look for in the second round. I know he was, like, valued around that spot, but it's just I didn't see, like, the Panthers ties. But I agree with you that he's a really good fit. Him and Derek Brown together is a cool rookie class to bring in together. The last time we drafted two defensive linemen in the first two rounds, it worked out pretty well for us, I think.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, we haven't done that since Star and Short, right?
I don't think so.
You are correct.
Yeah, and then Yeet complements Burns really well too. So from the last three rounds, we've got some interior. We got like a variety of skill sets on the defensive line, which variety is good, and they're all versatile players too.
So what I like about it is it actually has a twofold effect on the defensive line, maybe even threefold. So there's really no argument that I can make for any starter along the defensive line to be starting over Yeet right now. At one of the defensive end positions, I mean, we still have F.A. Obada, and obviously he'll be part of the rotation. We just signed Stephen Weatherly. But you look at it, it's just like, I can't really make an argument for him to not be playing. Like, I know Ron Rivera wouldn't have him playing just because that's what Ron Rivera would do.
He'd be playing special teams.
But what you've essentially done, because yesterday when we were looking at the defensive line, it was like, okay, they just got Derek Brown. They just got K-1. They have K-1 Short. They drafted Brian Burns last year. So they have a pretty good group of three there. And then we got to figure out what to do with the other defensive end position. So now you have a pretty high upside guy in Yeet, and you can rotate F.A. Obata and Stephen Weatherly. Which Stephen Weatherly was one I specifically wanted to touch on because he was really a really good rotational piece for the Vikings last year. And prior to this pick, he was pretty much slated to be the starter. I mean, I don't think anybody can really disagree. I mean, he had more of a...
I mean, I don't think we have anybody else
I don't
there.
Think we... Yeah, we didn't have anybody else to start, so...
So now they instead of... So on top of the fact that they've just added another defensive line piece with draft capital, they've essentially put him and Weatherly into a better position to succeed because he's not going to be subject to starting level snaps where he's playing 90% of the game because there's nobody fucking else. So I think you're going to get more value out of him as a pass rusher as well. And you don't have to throw Yeet out there to play all the snaps as a rookie either. So I was pretty excited about that. Plus, apparently Yeet is a very good run defender, which was my biggest concern for whoever they placed at that position, because Brian Burns is still, you know, a little underweight for a defensive end. So if he's the guy who's expected to set the edge, that could be a problem. Where now if this guy can actually set the edge effectively in the NFL, you can essentially use him in strong side and weak side positions and flip him around. So I think this is a great pick by Carolina, and everybody else has been saying that it was. And you added, you know, there was a lot of things to fill on this defense, and they took two high-end picks to make the defensive line less of a weakness, and now in the coming years it might be more of a strength.
And I think a lot of people, anyway, I guess we'll get to this in a little bit too. The secondary was definitely a need for the Panthers as well, but I think you can kind of indirectly improve your secondary with an improved defensive line. And you can't avoid, like, you can't game plan around an opposing team's good defensive line. You can somewhat game plan around an opposing team having a really good secondary. So I have no issue with them choosing to solidify the trenches first.
Yeah, me either. I mean, it's ideal to have both be good, but if you have to pick one over the other, I would rather have an elite defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's easier to field a competent defense with a strong defensive line than it is to field a competent defense with a strong secondary and a bad defensive line.
Yeah.
So, which it's kind of funny because Carolina's defensive line, I wouldn't say they were bad last year. They were really good at getting sacks, but they couldn't stop the run at all. So.
Still my fault. Yeah, I know.
I know, John. Thanks for that.
But we did address the secondary, though. So I guess that kind of alleviates that concern a little bit, right?
Yes. This is the pick that I'm actually most excited about as well. So the Panthers traded up from the 69th, nice, overall pick to number 64. They traded away the 148th overall pick to get there, which was, by the way, the pick they got for Kyle Allen. So while people hate trading up, that was a pick they didn't really need. They got rid of Kyle Allen, and they already had Will Greer, and they signed PJ Walker, so they got some draft capital out of it. So it ended up working out to them trading up to get the guy they want, and they got safety Jeremy Chinn. And
yeah.
I'll let you guys go first on him, but I'll start with you, Brad. What are your thoughts on Chinn?
Well, at first I was like, who in the hell is this guy? because I didn't know who he was. I'd never heard of him until today. And then I saw some highlights and holy shit, this guy is athletic. He is fast. He's a ball hawk. He can play safety and corner. I'm curious as to how he was still on the board. And I think the only reason is because of where he went to school. You know, nobody cares about Southern Illinois. So I can't complain. I mean, we didn't have the pick we traded, the extra pick we traded, we didn't even have it until we traded Kyle Allen. So, I mean, it's not like we traded next year's second rounder to move up five spots. So I can't really hate on the what we gave up, because I mean, we traded a fifth round pick and our third to move up to the last pick in the second round to draft this guy. So I can't really complain.
Yeah, and I said this before the show. Nobody knows that except for you two. He's very different than Isaiah Simmons, but I think he brings those same sort of versatility that was so appealing in Isaiah Simmons. Obviously, he's not as good. That's why he's a third round pick and not top 10. But he's a really big safety, and he's really athletic, and he can function like man to man and like a slot against slot receivers, against tight ends. He can come up and help in the run game and kind of function as like a coverage linebacker, so to speak, somewhat. I think he had a couple of really nice blitzes, right?
Yes. Which
you guys saw. So he could do a lot, and that's what we've been wanting. That's what we wanted in Isaiah Simmons, and we kind of got like the diet version of that with Jeremy Chinn.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he's not Haruki Nakamura bad, it's hard to really hate this pick and the trade. Like he has to be monumentally terrible for this to be a bad deal.
Yeah, and normally I'm anti-trading up, but I can't get too mad about trading up for what was basically a free draft pick.
Yeah.
It was also, I didn't even realize this, but it actually was, they jumped back into the second round.
Yes, it was the last pick of the second round.
Which they didn't draft, they didn't jump far, but still, like, they're...
Yeah, they had the fifth pick in the third round. They traded that, and then the extra pick we had for trading Kyle Allen to move up to the last pick of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a second rounder officially.
Yeah, which that doesn't serve any real purpose, does it?
No. Contract-wise, it does. I think from a pay whale, from a pay scale.
Yes and no. I mean, it factors in. It's not enough. It's a rounding error, essentially.
Yeah.
The difference between the two, because there's no fifth year option for a second round pick, so that's not even a factor into the equation. So it's
maybe like if it was
couple of $100,000,
or maybe like if they do those like original round tender things where. If a team signs your player, they have to give up whatever pick you draft them in. That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Now, I thought it was just that you just slap whatever round tender you want on the guy.
You can do that, but I think you have to be realistic in it. Like, I don't think we could put a first round tender on Michael Pilardi, for example. I don't know.
They put a first round tender on Matt Moore the 1 year.
Well, he was a quarterback.
Yeah, but he was an undrafted free agent, so it doesn't really matter.
Quarterback. He was a winning quarterback.
Okay. The original round tender is a thing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
none of this is going to matter. The answer is
none
no,
of it's
going
to matter. Yeah. It's just, he's either going to be good enough that we're not going to let him go, or he's going to be so bad that nobody else wants him. Like, it, you know.
Well, I'll share my thoughts on him. As I shared with John in our little shooting the shit podcast, the one position that I can safely say that I can watch on film and understand what's going on for the most part is safety. So before we got on here, when we were waiting on John, I watched a little bit of his film, and this dude is exciting. He is a very aggressive tackler. The dude athletically must be really, really athletic, because I was seeing him shoot up through blitzes, like in the middle of the offensive line. I was seeing him shoot through those gaps like a missile. Like, this dude is fast, and he hits and tackles aggressively, which is something that I really like in a safety in the NFL. And I think Carolina kind of needs it for their defense, because a player like that can set the tone for a defense to start a game off. Like, you hit a guy on like third and four and hit him for a loss, your defense is going to be amped up for the rest of the game, or at least the beginning of the game. And I haven't seen a safety like him that Carolina's drafted in a long time. I've seen plenty of safeties where they definitely try to make hits, like Trey Boston or Rashawn Golden, where he was able to hit, but he didn't hit with the velocity that this kind of guy does.
Well, it's because it requires speed to generate force with your hits.
Yeah, like this guy, what I saw when I was looking at it, I was like, this is the guy this is the guy who fits the role that Ron Rivera wanted for Rashawn Gault. Because that's what he wanted to use him as. You saw it a little bit in the preseason before they released him the 1 year.
You talking about like a safety, big nickel hybrid type of thing?
He's almost like, I would say he's a little bit more of a more athletic version of Eric Reed. without necessarily the deficiencies in the passing game, because he had like 14 interceptions in college. So I just really like high effort players at the safety position and he's in, according to Billy, he's in the 99th percentile as far as athleticism goes. So this is one of those picks where it could turn out to be like a Pro Bowler in the next 5-6 years. And you look back and say it was a steal.
I was looking at his combine stuff. He's third in against. Their players are listed as safeties and DBs, so, you know, take some of that with a grain of salt. But he was, like, third among safeties in 40-yard dash, tied for fourth in bench press. I haven't looked at the other ones yet, but, yeah, he's very, very good.
I think he ran, like, a 4.45.
Yeah, 4.45.
Something like that. So,
41-inch vertical, which was the second best among safeties. So, yeah, best broad jump. Listing workout things right now, but yeah, he's good.
There was some real hype on draft Twitter that he was going to be a first round safety after his combine performance, which obviously that's not the be all end all for where you should draft a guy, but still, it has merit. It does have merit.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it somewhat on here, where like you don't draft players based on, especially higher up, you don't draft them based on their combine stuff, but the further down in the draft you go, that's where you start looking for athletes that you can like coach up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I'm looking forward to our day three picks, because I think we're going to start taking a bunch of guys who had high spark scores and just see what they can do to coach them up.
Yeah, and that's what we did with Chin.
And also,
of course, Marty's probably going to get one of those weird picks in there. Like, we're going to pick a linebacker that doesn't do anything but play special teams at some point. But
need those guys.
Yeah, we are good for like one pick a year. That's like a linebacker that has no real NFL talent or athleticism. It's just kind of like, yeah, he's a good college player. I don't know. We like him. He's a nice guy. And he'll come out here and he'll play special teams for 3 years and get cut.
Not to get off the topic of Jeremy Chin, but speaking of tomorrow, it was kind of funny in Yeet's Zoom call. He mentioned that his father told him that Matt Rhule apparently like made an offer to bring him into, I guess it was Temple at the time, and he didn't even know about it. But that's kind of a nice edge that Carolina has, because Matt Rhule will have familiarity with a lot of these guys from having tried to recruit them.
Yeah, especially for the next 3 or 4 years, there will be guys that he try to recruit coming out of high school, coming into the draft.
Yeah.
Which I do think will be helpful to an extent.
Well, he'll have an idea of kind of who they are and at least a decent idea of their athletic profiles because of that. Because that's what he was looking at when he was trying to bring them into college. So obviously he didn't get to see them up front a lot in college unless he played them. But that's an advantage that a lot of head coaches don't have.
Yeah, they're kind of coming in blind for everybody.
Yeah. So, but as far as Chin goes, from what I'm gathering, this guy can play safety, he can play nickel linebacker, he can play dime linebacker, he can play nickel corner. Billy was even saying he could play outside corner, which at this point, Carolina has three, I guess, starting level safeties and only one starting level corner. So maybe that's what they end up doing. Hopefully not.
It's a new defense. You have one corner and three safeties on the field as your base defense.
Yep. The new position, outside safety.
Yeah. Yes.
Strong safety, free safety, outside safety, and then cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I also noticed is that this guy has a lot of swagger when he, like, makes plays, which on a defense that needs to get better and needs to, like, probably play over their heads to be competitive, you need guys like that. They have Dante Jackson. They have him. I think they're going to be best friends, to be honest. So I like bringing that kind of edge onto your team because they haven't had that in a while. I think the last guy they had who was really like that was Josh Norman.
Dante Jackson kind of has that swagger. He doesn't really back it up yet with his play on a consistent basis, but I do think it helps to have that kind of swagger.
Yeah, it'll also help Dante to have like a reliable defensive line and safeties who have some more range above him. Not talking shit on Trey Boston, but the Panthers definitely put Eric Reed.
You would never.
Never, but the Panthers in the Ron Rivera era definitely put a lot of put Eric Reed in a lot of positions where he shouldn't have been, because that's not what he is. He's not your last line of defense safety. He never has been. So, but yeah, I'm very excited about him, and I'm very excited about Yeet. So
it's a good day two.
Yeah, it was a very good day two.
Yeah,
imagine if we started day two. What?
Oh, I can't complain at all.
Imagine if we started day two with a trade.
Ooh. Yeah. I do like that Carolina is going all in on defense. I know that there was talk, quote unquote, of Denzel Mims, but defense was the biggest issue, and I think they did a really good job of like trying to make the offense as good as they could in free agency. Now they still need to get at least one offensive guard, I think. But the defense was obviously the most glaring issue for this team. So like letting free agency take care of that and signing the like value players they could on defense and allowing them to just like get some good high impact players on defense, I think was the best route. So I'm definitely a lot happier with the way the draft has gone looking back now after the first three picks rather than the first pick, because they're doing what
they
can.
Kind of get a sense of the direction.
Yeah. We said this yesterday. The direction seemed like after taking Brown that they were trying to be more competitive sooner. And these two picks only seem to cement that point, because they essentially put four starters on the defensive line by drafting two people and keeping K'Wan short. And obviously Brian Burns is going to stick around. And they added another high impact player at the safety position, where he's going to do. From what I've been hearing, this dude is essentially like a mini Isaiah Simmons. So they found a way to address another position where they can have a versatile piece that they can use all over the place. So I don't know if Carolina's defense is going to be good next year, but I think it'll be at least fun to watch these guys play.
Yeah, it gives us something to watch and root for and optimism for the future.
Mm-hmm. Rather than having a bunch of FA Obata and like an undrafted free agent at defensive end trying to rush the passer, or
yeah,
putting Justin Burris on an island out there. So we'll see if they find a way to address the cornerback position in the later rounds of the draft. Maybe we'll get lucky and they'll find like a Ben A. Benwickery type guy. But I think we're going to get to see these guys play early and often for the Panthers. And, you know, it's going to suck watching them not be good if that's what happens. But that's valuable experience for these young guys who are going to be on four-year contracts.
Yeah.
So anything else we want to add as far as the draft picks go, or the draft?
No, we got tomorrow still to talk about.
Yeah, we still have a whole nother day.
Speaking of tomorrow, so there was talk today that didn't really turn into anything yet. I say yet, that the Panthers were fielding calls for Curtis Samuel. Not that they were actively trying to trade him, but they were answering the phone for teams who did want to try and trade for him, which has got to be a really shitty position for Curtis Samuel, because he's on the last year of his contract with a new head coach, a new regime, and you're just now like, well, am I going to be here or am I going to not? And it's also kind of hard to gauge what his trade value is, because anybody who watched him play could tell that he would have been much better playing with a quarterback like Cam Newton last year. But he's on the last year of his contract, which means he's going to be up for an extension. So what, like, do you try to trade him in the draft now? Do you try to trade him for like a player for player straight up, or do you just ride out the season and hope he doesn't mail it in because, you know, he heard you might have been trying to trade him?
I was surprised that there's apparently significant interest in him.
Of course you are.
No, I know there's all this talk about his potential and stuff that we've heard about for the last 3 years, but like, I feel like NFL teams generally, especially for players that have been in the league for three seasons, like, they look for production. Not like, it's not often where you see NFL players get traded for a high value because a team's like, we can make this player better because he fits our system better. You know, that you don't see like the outcast or miscast players get traded for high value. So I was surprised that there was apparently significant interest in him, but I guess not enough to get a pick today.
Well, I mean, it's to counter your argument. I mean, you could see that there were a lot of yards left on the field last year for him on film. Like, yes, there were several times where he would have easily scored if not Kyle Allen was throwing to him. So could see it, but I also don't know, like, when you look at that, because you're right, like, when teams trade for production, that's what, like, when you're going and making an offer for a draft pick, and this is just me speculating, but I imagine when you go and you make an offer for a draft pick, you justify your offer with their production and say, this is why we're offering you that. So Carolina wasn't given an offer yet that seemed to justify trading him. So maybe teams were lowballing him, trying to give him like a fifth or fourth round pick to get him. And it's like, well, you know, he's pretty good, and we're gonna use him, so let's not do that. But I can see why teams would want to trade for him, because he's a player where he was definitely miscast in the Panthers system last year. Because, you know, he's a deep burner and a really good route runner. You can question his hands all you want, but those two things are definitely good for wide receivers. But if you look at his product, I mean, I wouldn't want to be sitting there trying to offer a second round pick in a draft like this, where supposedly there were first round picks, like, for the first half of the second round, at least, that were first round caliber talents. So I could see why a team wouldn't want to offer a second round pick for Curtis Samuel, but
it's a weird position. Like, he's so, like, if you only read Twitter, Panthers Twitter, you would think Curtis Samuel is just like a number one wide receiver in waiting. And hey, then Matt, if you go to,
he's a young Jerry Rice.
Yeah. And then you pull up his stats, and like, I made this comment today, Curtis Samuel had fewer yards in 2018 and 2019 combined than DJ Moore had in 2019 alone. And I know yards aren't like an advanced metric or anything, but like, to a point, like, you do have to produce.
Yeah.
And it's like, you kind of, like you said, like, it's hard to justify to your fan base or to your ownership or whatever that it's like, hey, we want to give up a second round pick for this guy that had 600 yards receiving in his third year in the NFL. And they're like, why are you going to do that? Just draft a wide receiver.
It's also just bad business to do that, because you get a guy like that, and all of a sudden you find out that's that was his ceiling. Like, then you end up getting fleeced, and the Panthers end up with another potentially first-round caliber talent because you guys decided to bank on the potential of a guy. So, yeah, it's tough. I think Curtis Samuel will do a lot better in the scheme this year, but that's a knock-on-wood type thing because, you know,
we've said that each of the last two seasons.
We've been saying that he was going to break out since his first year. So,
one of these days, though, one of these days,
much to your chagrin,
I will be very happy if Curtis Samuel becomes a good player for the Panthers. I just don't see it.
Got anything to say about that, Brad?
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with John to a degree. I think John is a little harsh on him, but at the same time, I think Twitter kind of is a little bit too far in the other direction.
Right.
You know, and it's like with everything, the truth is somewhere in the middle. I think he's decent. I think he's a pretty decent wide receiver two or three on a good team. And
I agree with that, though. Like, I think he's like a borderline 2-3. Yeah, I don't think he should be cut or anything. I just think my opinion of him seems so low because it's juxtaposed with people who think he's a number one wide receiver being held back by.
We should go ahead and cast his bronze statue in Canton. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think we should trade him if we're only going to get a day three pick or two day three picks. At that point, just keep him and let him play out his contract and then let him go, because they can't pay him, because they're going to pay DJ Moore, as they should pay DJ Moore, because DJ Moore is better, or at least he has better production. And to me, the window to trade him was today, when they could have gotten a second or third rounder, because if they would have gotten a second or third rounder, they should have made the move, because they're not going to get a better pick than that as a comp pick if he leaves via free agency, and nobody's going to give up a player that's better than that for Curtis Samuel. So at this point, unless somebody comes up tomorrow and says, we'll give you a fourth rounder and next year's second, I don't think they should trade him.
Yeah. Plus on the cap manage, like the roster management side of things, I don't think it'd be terribly difficult to replace Curtis Samuel's production with a second or third round pick, especially in this draft, which seems super deep at wide receiver.
It is.
And then that's just that's four more years or three extra years of rookie contract at that wide receiver position.
Yeah. The move to trade Curtis Samuel was to trade him today and use that pick to get Mims from Baylor.
I wouldn't hate it if they did it for like an early pick tomorrow, but that's me having no idea who's still left.
Yeah, and Curtis Samuel's value as a receiver is going to be hampered a little bit by the fact that the Panthers signed Robbie Anderson.
Yeah.
So, but
if they continue to use him as basically Christian McCaffrey's backup, where he gets some yards on end arounds and stuff, I think there's some value there. But like you said, Brian, his wide receiver two status has already been replaced with Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, and like, if this wasn't the last year of Curtis Samuel's contract, I'd be like, oh, this is awesome. Like, two more years of Samuel, Moore, and Anderson. That's going to be a really good wide receiver core. But it's like, okay, we're on the last year of Curtis Samuel's contract. And yeah, he's going to be out there to try and make some money. He's going to be out there to try and prove himself.
And he will make money. Somebody will pay Curtis Samuel. Probably. I mean, he's not going to get like a 8-year, $100 million deal or anything, but somebody will give him like what we paid Robbie Anderson. Somebody will, or what Devin Funchess got from the Colts. You know, somebody will pay Curtis Samuel.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to be us.
It'll be interesting to see what happens with the Panthers after day three, because I think they're going to be making some moves in free agency and potentially even trading to try and shore up the gaps on the defense, because this draft has given me no indication they don't intend to try and be competitive this year. Like, today's draft picks just only further cements that idea in my head that they're trying to be competitive in 2020.
Oh, they absolutely are. And they should. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think it's smart. I mean, I don't need to talk about it much again, but the Dolphins showed what happens if you try to go all out tank in the NFL. You end up with the fifth pick because it's football and it's a stupid sport and you never know who's going to win.
Right.
Or fourth pick, whatever. Yeah, fifth pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so and the Panthers could, if they did trade Curtis Samuel post-draft, they could try to leverage him into like a, I don't know, a veteran corner, like a guy who's getting paid a little too much with his current team, has some dead cap on theirs where they just want to drop him and get a weapon for their offense where Carolina pays like maybe half of the contract or something like that. You know, there's definitely windows of opportunity to trade Samuel afterwards. I don't think they'll do it. I think they'll just end up going out and signing some veteran free agent who's still out there, who's just waiting for a team to call him. But I don't know. I'm not a GM.
None of us are.
Yep. Well, is there anything else we'd like to cover prior to the next day of the draft?
No, I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we covered it pretty well. Well, this is your day two recap of the NFL draft for the Panthers. We will be talking to you tomorrow, or whenever it's aired, I should say, might be Sunday, about the day three picks, which could be really interesting, depending on how that's usually the area where teams trade around quite a bit. So that could be pretty interesting, but we'll be here. We'll break it down for you, and we'll have some more content for you next week as well. This is Brian, joined by Brad and John for the Keep Sounding podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon.
I just realized that there's still like 4 picks left in the third round. Hopefully the Panthers don't trade back in.
Oh, yeah. Real quick caveat. If the Panthers do pick somebody in the next 4 picks, we will break it down next on the next show. So anyway,
next
see you
4,
later.
It's like the 88th pick right now, and there's still 100. There's still 18 more after that. So
yeah, there's a lot of picks left.
Okay, well, if it happens, we will break it down for you on the next show.
Yes, that's the point. See it.
Later.
Bye-bye.